welcome to another episode of Behind the Mask. I'm your host, Ed English. It's been another interesting week in comic book news. With me is my new co-host, Chad O'Rourke. Welcome, Chad.
Hey, how you going?
Doing all right, and you?
Yeah, another day. More comics.
And to continue with the new segment that we started last week, the New Who Review, welcome, Sheila.
Hey.
So, first off, we found out last week that Chad was curious about Doctor Who. He was Who curious. And so, having taken Sheila's recommendations, he has apparently binge-watched Matt Smith's first season of Doctor Who. Chad, what has changed since last Sunday?
So, on Sheila's advice, of course, took it upon myself to go find the Matt Smith episodes, and we did. Me and my daughter sat down and watched first episode, like you said, the 11th hour. It was amazing. I was pretty impressed. The first time I was able to make it through a Doctor Who episode, because everybody kept telling me to jump in the 60s or 70s or 80s or wherever. We watched the first couple episodes. I think we watched 4 in one night. And here we are next week. I'm already in season 2, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. Got my daughter as well, and even got my wife to sit down and watch a couple episodes, and she's enjoying it. So we have been converted to the Whovians, where they're already.
That's great.
Sheila said before the show. Right. 3 down, 10 million to go.
I'm on a mission. I'm converting.
Well, that's a good starter episode for anybody looking to get into it and hasn't been able to find a good spot like myself. It was definitely a good one. I'm really impressed with Matt Smith. I love the eccentricity and the manicness of his character. It's very well done.
So is
you're
that
gonna
what?
Go ahead. Well, you're gonna love the David Tennant years too. David Tennant is probably one of the most beloved doctors of all time with Whovians, just so that you know. A lot of people thought Matt Smith was a little too young for the part, but he actually brought in new fans to Doctor Who. A lot of people who, like yourself, you look at those older ones and you think, that's not my cup of tea, but you get Matt Smith and he is a bit eccentric and he's, you don't know what to expect and he's fun. But he can be, he can be very serious and he's, like I said, a great jumping off point. But David Tennant, Tom Baker, David Tennant, probably the two most beloved Doctor Whos, in my opinion.
So is Tennant before or after Smith?
Tennant is actually before. But now I did like you. I watched the first 2 years of Matt Smith, realized I was in love with Doctor Who, and I actually went back and started at the beginning of the reboot, the 2005, with Christopher Eccleston. The first one was a little hard for me to get into when I started, and I didn't. I was like you. I watched it, and it's like, I don't know. It's okay. And then somebody gave me that recommendation and said, look, if you start with Matt Smith, you will feel compelled to go back and start from the beginning of the reboot. And they were absolutely right. By the time that I went back and watched that, it was like I was definitely binge-watching some Doctor Who. But I got to David Tennant, and I realized I felt like all the other Whovians. It's like you don't know what you don't know. You hear all these people talking about David Tennant. And, Matt Smith was my first Doctor. You always remember your first. David Tennant was born to be the Doctor. And when you watch that, you know it. Like, he is the Doctor. He's amazing. He's really amazing.
So then are the Doctors in order? Like, if I go watch the previous Doctors and then go watch the Doctor after Smith, is that going to mess up any linear storyline, or is it all just each Doctor is a new set of stories and it doesn't matter where I'm at?
Well, the whole thing about Doctor Who is that time is wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. And so
excellent. That's what I wanted to hear.
While some while some stuff is might appear to be linear, it really isn't. It's a big ball.
Yeah, I didn't feel cheated. You know, I didn't feel like when I went back to watch the first ones, I didn't feel like, oh, man, I wish I had known this, started watching Matt Smith. I never felt that way. The seasons and the Doctors do pretty much stand on their own. But what's nice is when you watch it from the beginning, if you rewatch it, you'll get little things like, you know, like when you read the book and you go see the movie, sometimes there's like little hidden things that if you didn't, you know, if you didn't read the book, you would have got it, but it doesn't really destroy, you know, your feeling about the movie. You really do get a few extra things out of it, but you don't miss anything. Like you could go do Tenet and then go do Eccleston and come back to Capaldi. It wouldn't mess anything up.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to watching the rest of the seasons.
So, Sheila, tell us what's new in the world of Doctor Who this week.
New to Doctor Who. Well, let's see. I've decided I love Peter Capaldi, but primarily because I saw him on a talk show, I think it was last night. I had actually seen the clip last week at the BBC show and found out that he, you know, actors will say, oh, yeah, I love the show. I watched it growing up. Peter Capaldi was like, he was a Whovian back before it was cool to be a Whovian. And they found some of his old fan letters and all this. It was just priceless. It was so endearing. And you could tell this man was, like, so humbled to have been, you know, given the part of the Doctor. And he really wants to, you know, to be the Doctor for everybody and to make people love the Doctor like he loved the Doctor growing up with it. And it was endearing, and it made me like him. And I think that was good because the last episode, which was called Kill the Moon, I had some love and hate for it. The three previous to that, absolutely, absolutely loved. I do think Kill the Moon, which has, I think primarily the story behind Kill the Moon was more about moving the relationship between Clara and the Doctor, Clara's his companion, about moving it in a particular direction. And I think that it's kind of setting us up for the Christmas episode. Now, just so that you know, Christmas episodes are big. That's usually when you have a regeneration or you have a new companion. Something big usually happens during that season. And that has always been so for Doctor Who. And, you know, this Doctor is kind of dark, and he doesn't love humans the way that Matt Smith and David Tennant loved humans. He, you know, pretty much thinks they're monkeys, and he's just not as empathetic, you know, to them as the previous Doctors. And Clara's finally calling him out on it and saying, you know what, you walk on our world, you breathe our air, you can help us when we need help. And I was very happy to see that. Clara's not my favorite companion, but these last couple, I've really warmed up to her. I like that she's talking back to this Doctor, that she's finally realizing he's not the Matt Smith Doctor, and calling him on his kind of his callousness a little bit. And, you know, he leaves her to make a really difficult, horrible, horrible decision by herself and just leaves her. And her point to him was, you know, friends don't do that to one another, so we're obviously not friends. Kind of how it was left. I mean, I don't want to say too much because not everybody's seen it, but kind of in a nutshell, that is, you know, it's like that's not how you treat a friend. And so now that relationship is kind of under question as to how that's going to go. And I know that all is eventually going to lead up to that Christmas special when we find out, do we have a new Doctor? Do we have a new companion? You know, something big will happen come Christmas. But yeah, I'm putting my review up on Behind the Mask. It's Behind the Mask FB for Facebook, so BehindTheMaskFB.com. So you can go check that out, and it'll have a few more details on it.
Cool. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you, though, what do you think, you know, you talk about, you know, furthering the relationship between the companion and the doctor. What do you think this episode did to further the relationship between Clara and her boyfriend, Danny?
Between Clara and Daniel?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, they slipped something in. And this is the thing you have to know about Doctor Who. You need to really pay attention. You can't really just miss anything. There's little things said under your breath. There's little things said at the last minute. And if you're not paying attention, you could miss something that comes back later on, and you're thinking, oh, why didn't I see that coming? So towards the very end, you know, she's sharing with Daniel, who she's already, you know, professed her love for, and said, you know, I just don't think I can go back. This has been it. And, you know, he's telling her, as long as you're this angry, you care. Because when you don't care, you don't act this way. And then he slips in this little nugget where he talks about that he had a particular day in which everything changed for him. He was a soldier. He loved being a soldier. And one particular day changed his entire life, and he doesn't like to be a soldier anymore. But it's said in like a sentence, like one sentence, you know, as he's trying to make her feel better. And so, you know, there's something more coming about him. You get the idea that I kind of have this idea that Danny and the doctor see each other in a bad light. They recognize the killer in each other. The doctor, who is, I can say with all certainty, killed more people than Danny Pink ever thought of. And, you know, and Danny, you know, because the doctor did that, he never wants to kill again. He never wants to be around violence again. He was put in a position in which he had to kill, and it was horrible for him, and it affected his whole entire life, which is a very long life indeed. So they see that in each other, that potential in each other. They see, I can tell you've done something horrific in each other. And they both care for Clara. And so they think you're not good enough for Clara. They think that of each other. So, you know, I think Danny's trying to wait for Clara to have her own kind of epiphany that she needs to not be around the doctor. Or he's waiting to see if the doctor's going to actually do right by her, because so far what he's seen, that's not really been the case. But I think that, you know, you see them becoming more of a solid couple together in this episode.
All right. Well, I agree. I think you're right about, definitely you're right about paying attention because of the little one-liners sometimes. Even though you don't know necessarily what the one-liner means, by catching it, it's kind of a foreshadowing that you know something's, you know, that means something. You know, that
right.
Statement, it isn't just a statement to make her feel better. It's a statement that means something.
Right. And that's how you get Whovian frenzy going on. Because now this, all week long, that's what all the Whovians are going to be talking about. Is that significant? How significant? And what does it mean? So, it's a really great way of getting the fan base from this episode to the next episode.
Which is a sign of any good show.
Right.
And speaking of good shows, unfortunately, both S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham are still anxiously awaiting our viewing on our DVR, and talk to Chad. He hasn't seen the second episodes of either one yet, either. So,
I'm sure we could go back and talk about the first of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Since you didn't get to see it until this week.
Yeah, so was I the only one that had completely forgotten why Fitz was all elusive? What's Fitz's problem? Because I don't remember from the finale. Is it? It's just,
well, the season finale was when
him drowning thing.
Well, yeah, Ward ejected the escape pod with Fitz and Simmons, and
right.
It sunk to the bottom of whatever ocean or, you know, some body of water, and you know, Jenna had come up with this way for them to both escape and survive. But, you know, yes, they survived, but he's got, you know, some secondary problems because of, you know, being lack of oxygen, et cetera. You know, I'm not sure if he was dead for a minute or, you know, I don't know exactly, but, you know.
So that's the route you're going then.
Exactly. You know, he suffered some brain, you know, trauma kind of thing, that, you know, that's affecting his ability to think clearly and to express himself.
I really loved the way they, at the end of the episode, brought that about. Basically, didn't catch on that he was hallucinating that whole time, but they never really explained. And that was a heartbreaking little piece of film there. But
I know.
They never really explained why Simmons left other to me. I don't remember it, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention in the finale again.
Well, no, you didn't know that she left until the end of that episode. You know, just
okay,
like, you know, when I'm watching it, I thought she's there talking to him.
Yeah, so did I.
Trying to help him through his, you know, thought processes, et cetera. And then, you know, you find out, you know, he's not been the same since she left. And then it shows him talking to himself. And so, you know, obviously they went through something in that mid, you know, between season period that made her decide that she needed to be away from him for some reason. Either she thought that it was beneficial for him or maybe beneficial for her. I don't think we know yet.
Yeah, I did see the preview for episode 2, and now, like you said earlier, we haven't watched episode 2, but I did see the preview for it. It looked like she was coming around maybe on the Hydra side, which kind of bothers me because I think Fitz and Simmons was probably the best two cast members on the entire show aside from Coulson.
Well,
I'm
yeah,
really
they
hoping
definitely,
that doesn't come true.
They definitely have a great dynamic. You know, obviously, or people wouldn't call them by one name, you know. It's kind of a, you know, but it's kind of Brangelina in, you know, but non-romantic. You know, they finish each other's sentences. You know, they spark off of each other. One says something that makes the other one, you know, have a light bulb or whatever. But I think I started to watch the second one, and I think I fell asleep in my chair. But
oh, that's not a good sign.
Well, when you're watching them at 1 in the morning. It's not the episode, definitely not because of the episode. But, yeah, so I'm interested to see definitely what's going on there. I can't imagine, though, her ever being Hydra. So I think that's any
I
allusion
hope not,
to that
but
is
did you
just,
see Ward coming either?
A red herring. What's that?
I said I hope not, but did you see Ward coming? I didn't see that one coming.
Well, no, not when they revealed it, you didn't see it. But, you know, that's another good sign of a great show is when, you know, you don't see it coming. But I think, you know, she's the kind of character that, you know, is, you know, true of heart, you know, kind of the Boy Scouty kind of, you know, always faithful person. So I don't see... I mean, unless she's being manipulated unknowingly, I can't see her consciously making any concerted effort to support Hydra.
So while we're on the subject of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what do we think that obelisk is? Do you think it's another gem or stone, Infinity?
No, I don't. We mentioned the blue glow in the box at the beginning of the show, its correlation to Tahiti.
Right.
You know, Sky makes a comment about that obelisk having symbols on it, similar to what Garrett was drawing and to what Coulson was drawing, although Sky doesn't know that. But she made a comment about the symbols on the item. So we'll have to see exactly where that goes. You know, it's obviously alien in nature, of some sort. We just don't know what it is yet and what its impact is. Obviously, we know that it causes some severe you know, loss of use of limbs.
Yeah, what a brilliant way to put Barbie Man into the show. That was great, brilliant.
I definitely love the way they wrote him.
I love seeing the B-roll characters injected in the show. They're probably not going to get any big screen time. Absorbing Man being there, that was great. I hope to see more B-rated characters like Deathlok last season.
Exactly. That's the beauty of a series like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And hopefully we'll see something similar from the Netflix original series when Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist come to the small screen. That's one of the benefits of having a combined cinematic universe, is that, yes, from time to time they can pull, you know, from the larger-than-life characters, but then it also opens the door for them to take advantage of the whole Marvel catalog. You know, there's, I'm sure, hundreds, if not thousands, of characters in the Marvel universe, you know, some more obscure than others, but, you know, I would have, you know, definitely called him a B-level, you know, villain, but, you know, that's just one of the great things that the showrunners are doing in the writers, to be able to pull in those characters and make use of their abilities to progress the storyline.
So no theories on the obelisk then, on the symbols on the Kree in the box?
I think it's alien. I have no idea what it is, though. You know, obviously the treatment that brought Coulson back to life and the G-235 or whatever they called it is, you know, we saw at the end of last season. We haven't really seen so much yet this season, but, you know, it's having, it had an effect on Garrett. It's having an effect on Coulson.
And the other question is, why is it not having an effect on Sky?
Well, and that's an excellent question as well. You know, allegedly Coulson has tasked her with researching these symbols and such to see if, you know, she can find anything. But, you know, I think we as the viewer know, or we've been hinted at, that, you know, Sky has a deeper connection to this than merely using her internet search and hacking capabilities to discover, you know, if any existing documentation, you know, is out there. So it'll be interesting to see what that connection is, you know, because in this second episode, they allegedly reveal her father, who was alluded to at the end of last season as well, with Raina, the woman in the flowered dress. So it'll be good to see what they're doing with that whole storyline. You know, and, of course, we talked about this, but you hadn't seen it. What did you think about the fact that they have Ward, you know, as an information resource, but he's only willing to talk to Sky? You know, I think that's reminiscent of, you know, Silence of the Lambs, but also, I don't know if you watch Blacklist or not, but similar situation there. What did you think?
You know, I don't like the whole Ward-Sky dynamic. It's very stalkerish and creepy, and I don't like it. I didn't like Ward in the show the entire time last season. I think he was poorly cast, and he's a terrible character. But with that being said, yeah, if you're Sky and Coulson, you're going to keep him around to milk him for info all you can. But I'm not running the show, so...
Well, it's definitely Coulson's intent, but, you know, Sky, I think Sky is of the mindset that, you know, can't we just put him away somewhere so I don't ever have to see him, talk to him, or know that he exists? You know,
she's been violated and betrayed. She doesn't want to have to do anything with it, you know, and I don't blame her. But, you know, I don't know. That's minor nitpick thing for me, I suppose. Maybe you can get something decent out of the guy.
Well, you know, for her, that's the equivalent of taking one for the team, you know, to have to go talk to him to get some information. And obviously he's playing the, you know, I'll never lie to you again card, and, you know, you'll see that my information is reliable. You know, who knows? We'll see. But interestingly enough, what was announced last week, speaking of Grant Ward, if you've ever watched White Collar, which we're big fans of, Peter Burke, the agent Peter Burke, who's the head FBI agent on White Collar, is played by a fellow by the name of Tim DeKay. He's actually been cast for a guest role in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as, I don't know if I should spoil it or not, he is a character that is close to Ward. So from the article that I read, it'll be interesting to see that dynamic, if he actually gets to interact with Ward, and what kind of dynamic that will be.
Oh, just go ahead and tell us who. If you're able to look it up on Google, it's what all the listeners are doing right now.
Well, that's true. He is been cast to play Ward's older brother, who in the first season, you know, if we can believe what Ward has said about his past and his childhood, his older brother was really an antagonist to him growing up. That really drove him to the point to where he was when Garrett recruited him. So if he's brought back into Ward's life, you know, who knows what that will do to that dynamic. His name is Maynard Ward, and he is apparently a senator, according to the article that I read. I don't know why they had to go with Maynard, but okay. So
that's not ringing any bells with me. He says the giant spoiler.
Right.
I don't recall any Senator Maynard Ward in all of my comic reading days. But
well,
maybe
Grant,
it's in
I think
some
Grant
more
Ward's
recent.
A made up. Grant Ward's a made up character anyway, specifically
sure.
for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So okay. I'm not surprised they've made up his brother as well.
Well, I'll tell
we
you,
don't
as
know.
Somebody. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, somebody who doesn't, I've not read the comics, you know, so I don't know any of those things. I mean, it's great for, you know, everybody who's following that and knows that. But to know that they're going to bring his, you know, his brother in and, you know, I don't know, does that mean he's part of Hydra? Does that mean he's going to try and save his brother because he realizes, you know what, I was just schmuck and that's probably why you're in all this trouble? I actually, it makes me very interested in what's going to happen. I do have to say that my interest in Ward's character is just, I mean, he's like, he's not redeemable in my eyes because, like, he shot a dog.
I agree.
I'm done with him. I'm really done with him. And I wish they would let it die. And, you know, maybe this new guy with the really sexy accent, I don't remember what his name is, but... You know, maybe he'll be the new love interest. You know, they like to have a love interest because, well, let's face it, we women, we do like that. But as far as Ward goes, he could burn, and I wouldn't shed a tear.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that doesn't like Ward. I agree. I think he needs to be off the show. Make his brother the new guy. I don't care.
Well, you know, maybe this is a way to phase him out. I don't know. Maybe this is a way to further his storyline. I hope that they don't try to redeem him, you know, because I agree that he's irredeemable. Obviously, he's trying to endear himself back to Sky by being an information resource. And I, too, wish they'd just get rid of him, but, you know, we'll have to see what happens with bringing his brother in. You know, is he going to try to use his senatorial power to, you know, get him moved to, you know, a low security prison? You know, is he going to further antagonize him and tell him he's a screw up, you know, which would drive him to, you know, just remove himself from the situation? I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what dynamic the brother plays.
Well, I do have a question, and I know we're just talking about the first episode, is that right?
We can talk about the second episode, even though Chad hasn't seen it and I fell asleep.
Right. I just want to know, did we just see Sky's dad in this last episode? I want to know, because it kind of alluded to that, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Everything I was reading, even before the episode, was that, you know, Kyle MacLachlan is Skye's father. He's the guy that was in the chair when Rain went and said, "We found your daughter."
Okay.
And that's why she's with him.
Because he'd come off kind of like a bad guy to me.
Well, allegedly, he is. I mean, you know, Rain was allying herself with some pretty seedy characters last year. So it's not surprising to me that this could be, you know, one of a top dog in the bad guy community.
Well, I think Rain's more redeemable than Ward. I'm just going to put that out in the universe.
I agree, because I think her motives were about pushing the human boundaries to see what mankind could become. You know, I think, no matter what, how that was happening, you know, she was aligning herself with Hydra and et cetera. You know, I think her interest in it wasn't world domination or, you know, whatever. I think she was purely interested in seeing what mankind could become.
Well, I don't think I'm a Fairweather fan. You know, there are some of the Peter Capaldi Doctor Who's that, as you know, I wasn't a big fan of every episode, and it, you know, took me a while to warm up to them, or finally they, you know, finally found some good writers, or however you want to look at it. So, you know, same with Arrow. I didn't particularly care for Arrow at first, and now I'm a huge fan of Arrow. But I'll tell you, if they try to redeem Ward, I'll be done with this show. That's just how I feel. There's my 2 cents.
I've even said I hate the character, and I don't think I would jump off board with that. I
don't think I'd give up on
too
the show. Yeah, I'm too interested in what's going on with Coulson, and also with the whole Skye, you know, because we found out she was, you know, put up, you know, given up at birth, et cetera. So I definitely want to see that storyline through. To appease my own curiosity, and I'm willing to abide Grant Ward to do it. You know, I might not enjoy it, but you know, I think I would still stick with the show, at least until I found, you know, got answers to my questions. I won't be happy if they redeem him. I definitely won't be happy, and I hope that they don't. But I don't know if it's a deal breaker for me. So speaking of Arrow, since you brought it up, both Arrow and Arrow Season 3 and Flash Season 1 premiere this week. I believe Flash is on Wednesday and Arrow on Thursday or Tuesday, Wednesday. Check local listings. It's on the CW. But I'm definitely looking forward to both of those shows with bated breath because... I've always been a huge Green Arrow fan, but I do love this show, and I love the way, you know, much like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow does a great job of bringing secondary characters into the world, its world, and it'll be even more interesting now that they have Flash as a spinoff, and, you know, they're already teasing a lot of the other characters and villains that Flash is going to be bringing into the world. So I'm definitely looking forward to both of those. But I think I'm more so, and I don't know, I'd have to say Arrow is probably my favorite show, but close second is going to have to be Walking Dead, and that's coming up. I know that Chad posted a story linking to some spoilers. But I got to say, I'm looking forward to what's going down at Terminus.
Hey, if there's spoilers, let us have it.
No, I didn't even read it. I just posted it for the fans on the page. I'm not spoiling that for myself.
But isn't there going to be an offshoot to Walking Dead? I heard that somewhere.
I did hear that they're going to have a second series that's another group of people. I don't know if any of the characters from from this series will be present, or if it's just going to be, you know, meanwhile on some other part of the planet, you know, here's what these people are doing during the zombie apocalypse.
You know, when for those people who are hardcore fans, you know they do webisodes, and they've had two seasons of webisodes that show different people in different parts of the world, and the very first one that they play, which should still be on AMC for those people. If you haven't seen it, go see it because it's actually excellent. When they showed that play out, my thought was I would follow these people anywhere. They were so incredibly interesting. Not so much the second webisode, but the first webisode, I thought I could see them make a spinoff from these webisodes.
Also, keep in mind, I don't know, maybe they'll try and leverage some more of the comic characters. A lot of differences between the comics and the TV show, for example. Like, Judith isn't alive in the comics. Died before the mom did, you know. So, I mean, they went a completely different direction. There's a lot of differences between the comics and the TV show. I, Daryl doesn't even exist in the comics. At least not.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He's a TV show only character. Herschel, completely different. You know, I mean, there's a lot of amazing characters that they're leveraged really well on the TV show, but are also done even far greater justice in the comic book. The Governor, for example, not born character. Neither is the blonde chick that was with them.
Andrea?
What was her? Andrea hated her in the TV show. Amazing character in a book. You know, they have twisted and turned a lot of different things. It's like a totally different episode. So maybe if they're doing a spinoff, maybe they'll go a little direction, a little more of the comics. But, the two characters that just came out this season, the army guy and the guy trying to get back to Washington because he can cure all things.
Right,
you
Eugene.
Know, it was literally, those two characters are literally right out of the page. In fact, the final episode of when they introduced final scene of that episode, they introduced the characters. It's straight off of one of the covers. I mean, I don't know what they're trying to do as far as the show goes, but the book is completely different, you know, and maybe that's where they're going with some of the webisodes, but the webisodes sound great too, but I haven't watched them. But who knows where they're going to go, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I don't know when they actually plan on, I mean, I've read that they plan on doing it, I just don't know what the timetable is.
Yeah, I read that they were coming out with a spinoff too, but I couldn't imagine where they were going.
So lots of great stuff coming up. Definitely anxiously awaiting Walking Dead. Got Arrow, got Flash. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. continues, Gotham continues. I'm definitely looking forward to watching the second episode from the DVR, because it features the Selena Kyle character, so we find out, you know, more about her. She's not just hanging out on fire escapes for the whole episode.
Lots of exciting small screen stuff to get us to next summer.
Well, yeah, and as far as the big screen goes, I mean, there's been stories that, you know, I've seen conflicting stories that Chris Evans says he's done being Captain America, but then another that says, you know, don't count me out too soon. You know, then there's been stories about Robert Downey Jr. saying, you know, my contract with Iron Man is, you know, I was contracted for 3 films and some Avengers, and I'm done. But now there's a new story that says, you know, he's saying that, you know, he's willing to do an Iron Man 4. You know, Jeremy Renner's been interviewed saying that, you know, the possibility exists that he's going to be in Captain America 3, that he has a more featured role in Avengers 2, and that he might get his own films. Of course, then there's also the...
I'm excited to see more Falcon.
Yeah, obviously, if I'm a Green Arrow fan, I'm a Hawkeye fan, too. Not nearly as much, but still, you know, of the Avengers, he's my guy kind of thing. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, bringing in Falcon. And, of course, the introduction of Paul Bettany as the Vision, definitely going to be a great thing in Avengers 2. On DVD, though, X-Men Days of Future Past, apparently fans have raised a stink that Anna Paquin's Rogue scene ended up on the cutting room floor. So they're already announcing the Rogue cut on DVD and Blu-ray for when Days of Future Past is released. So all of
the rogue scene. Minutes. This is news to me. What was that about?
Apparently, in the future section that opened the movie, there was 15 to 20 minutes featuring Anna Paquin as Rogue, with the other characters that ended up on the cutting room floor because the directors thought that, you know, it really didn't do much to. They thought it slowed the story down more so than moving the story forward, and so it ended up on the floor. And all we see of Rogue is back in present day when they show her at Xavier's school for those, you know, 3 or 4 seconds as she walks to class or whatever. But yeah, apparently there was a scene that Anna Paquin filmed that's 15 to 20 minutes of footage that did not make the cut that will be on, you know, the Blu-ray and DVD.
I'll keep an eye out. That's good news.
So lots of stuff going on with the big screen, too. I posted a story that we're getting a Justice League movie in 2015. It's an animated movie, but like I said, you know, it's better than nothing if you're a Justice League fan. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. We didn't even get to talk, you know, we're almost out of time. We didn't even get to talk about Thor number one, our new female Thor character. We don't know who she is. All we know is that she now holds Mjolnir. So it'll be interesting to see what Marvel does with that and to find out who she is, because, you know, there's probably half a dozen female characters in the Thor storyline that could be, you know, worthy to pick up the hammer. So it'll be interesting to see which one it turns out to be. And then also, along, you know, I also posted this story, you know, and maybe it's not a big deal. Some people have said, you know, it's not a big deal. Some bloggers have said it's a huge deal. You know, there's been an ongoing movement, or I don't know what exactly to call it, but, you know, Marvel and DC both license their characters for T-shirts and other merchandise. The latest one to raise attention is a T-shirt that was found at Walmart. That just says, it's got the Bat logo and says training to be Batman's wife. Some people have said that's not offensive. I don't really care. No big deal. Some people have said, you know, heck, I'd love to be Batman's wife. you know, some people have said that this, you know, is a gender equality issue in that, you know, it's teaching girls to settle, you know, versus aspiring to be more, you know, be the hero. Don't settle for being the hero's wife.
You know what, though? That's a slap in the face to people, to wives. Because I'm a kick-ass wife. And
yes,
I don't think
are.
That's a bad thing to be. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, Batman's been around a long time and nobody's been able to, you know, get him to marry him. Who doesn't want to try and give Batman a man of freedom?
Yeah, I'd hate to settle. I'd switch sides for Batman, right?
Hey, you got to play with all the cool gadgets.
The guy's got a billionaire. He's a billionaire industrialist, controls half a city, and runs over rooftops at night with big toys. Hell yeah, I want to be his husband. No, I don't find that offensive at all, personally. I don't know. I'm not a woman, though. Maybe I'm on the wrong side.
My thought wasn't necessarily that this is telling young women to settle, because being anybody's wife is not a bad thing, whether it's Batman or whomever. For somebody who, if a wife is all that they are, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what they're, you know, what they feel they're called to be in life. My take on it was that not so much that it's telling girls to settle, to me, I took it a different way, that it was, aside from the fact that it's not, it doesn't go along with Bruce Wayne's long history of bachelorhood from the comic books. Aside from that, you know, I think it's promoting, hey, here's this rich guy, marry him and you're all set. Find a rich guy with lots of stuff and, you know, marry him. To me, it was promoting materialistic. What?
So now you're calling me shallow.
Because you want to be his wife? Perhaps. You know, if all you're marrying him for is his stuff and his money, then yes, I'm calling you shallow.
Batmobile.
But, you know, that was my thing, was that, you know, the author of the article that I read was promoting, believed that the shirt was promoting low self-expectation or, you know, aspiring to less. But my thought was, you know, there's nothing wrong with being the woman behind the man if that's a healthy relationship and that being the supportive wife is the role that that person chooses. You know, that's not settling at all. You know, I thought that this was, you know, calling for girls to find a rich man with lots of stuff and be a gold digger and live off his money. That's how I took it. But, you know, again, I've got nothing against people who are rich or against people, somebody marrying somebody's rich, if that's what's to be. But to purposefully seek out, you know, to be that materialistic and have that mindset of entitlement that's already, in my opinion, prevalent in today's youth, this T-shirt was pouring fuel on that fire. That was just my opinion. So, agree, disagree?
Well, I agree that, you know, you want people to have healthy relationships. And, you know, if you want to be Batman's wife, for the same reason I would want to be Batman's wife, not because of the money, but because I could have any honey-do list in the universe and get it done, that would be my shallow reason. Yeah.
Well, you got Alfred. You got Alfred for that.
You know, as long as you feel like it's healthy for the both of you and you're happy, the both of you, then put on the stinking T-shirt and wear it around with pride.
Yeah, you don't like it, don't buy it. You don't like what's on TV, turn the channel. Whatever. People will be too
Sheila, like Sheila has often said that, you know, your dollar is what, you know, you vote with your dollar, I think is what she says.
Right.
So, everybody's got their own opinion, and, you know, they're entitled to it. You know, I could be off base in what, you know, whoever came up with this one, what their intention was. I don't know. I just don't think that it's something I want my daughter to wear, but that's just me. So, we've managed to talk away another 45 minutes of wonderful time about sci-fi, comic books, movies, TV, all of the above. So thank you, everybody, for listening to Behind the Mask. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Sheila, for joining us.
Good night.
Absolutely. And see you next week.
See everybody again next week on Behind the Mask. Have a great week.